Real community is when you have people around you that do those things. That lift you up and celebrate with you. People who know the deep parts of who you are and care about you for larger reasons rather than you being pleasant or funny or attractive or whatever it might be. But they know the deep parts of who you are and they can be with you in life. Community is a lot more than casual friendships. Community involves serving each other. Community involves carrying each other's burden of love. Community involves vulnerability. Having a community of believers in my life has been one of the most life-changing experiences that I've had. Having people around me with a common belief that can lift me up when I need to be lifted up and can celebrate with me when it's time to celebrate. That has been one of the most transformational moments in my Christian life is having a community around me. I never realized that community was so important before Christ. I never realized that we needed it so much or that I needed it so much. Our culture and our world will tell us that being alone is okay. Being alone is the best place to be. Being alone is okay. It's fine to be alone in your life, but God's plan is much different than us being alone. I have a quick video I want to show to show you how much we desire truly to be together. So Eli, can you roll the video real quick? Hopefully it'll play. Here we go. Maybe it won't play. Anyway, go ahead and go past that, Eli. So in this video clip, if you hang around, we're going to watch this whole movie together. If you remember my last sermon, I did show a clip from Castaway, but if you hang around, we'll watch the whole movie together, okay? In that scene that Tom Hanks was on the beach, he was by himself.
Yeah.
And he desired not to be alone so much that he created a friend named Wilson from a volleyball.
Yeah.
And if you watch the movie, you'll see that he literally interacts with Wilson throughout the whole movie.
Yeah.
And has a relationship with a volleyball. Mm-hmm. That is how deep we need to be together. Mm-hmm. That's how deep we desire to be together. The first church that God created in Acts to now, God doesn't want us to walk with him alone. There is strength in numbers. That is why we are here for each other.
Amen.
Turn to Acts 2 with me. I'm going to read the first encounter of the first church here in Acts 2, verse 40. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing meals and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold the possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So my charge this morning is how do we right now reclaim the call and order that God ordained his church to be? How do we become fruitful like his first church? How do we keep the faith like his first church? And how do we stay motivated to share the good news of Christ like the first church? Today we're going to ask God to show us the way. There's no other way to figure it out but through him. He's the only one that has the master plan. And we have to be in line with him. So we're going to ask him today to show us the way of how we can reclaim the ordained call that God has on his church, not this building, his church, you and I.
That's right. from the very beginning.
I've titled today's message, Better Together.
Yes.
Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you sent it to accomplish something. God, I thank you that you've ordained this moment for us all to be together so you can show us what that something is. And I believe in my heart that that something is to show us how we are better together with each other. So God, I pray that you would bless the preaching and teaching of your word. Remove any agenda that I have, God. Replace it with the Holy Spirit's way. God, I place myself at your feet and say, speak through me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It is my heart, and I believe it is God's heart to set us up to be the very, very best versions of ourselves. It's not his heart for us to be in lack or not to have his very best. His promises are yes and amen, and he'll give it all to us. But we have to do some actual things in our hearts and lives. We don't get there on our own. We don't get there by our own strength. We don't get there by just knowing what to do. The way we get there is together. All of us on a journey together. Family, we are better together.
That's right.
Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Beginning to read verse 1. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in his spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. This Christian life is not merely believing a set of doctrines. It is not just going by a set of rules. Christianity is a relationship with a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. Because of that relationship that we have with Jesus, because we are united with him, we are related to one another. With that knowledge that Jesus Christ is in us, and our relationship with him unites us as family together, I want you to look around right now. Look to your right, look to your left, look behind you. This is your family.
Yeah.
This is your family. There's no safer place than to be together with family. When you're facing a trial in life, when you're going through a hard time, what do?
Call on your family.
You call your family. Because you know, number one, they love you. And number two, they'll do anything for you.
That's right.
And number three, you can trust them. Yes. You can be vulnerable and be real with your family. We are better together, family. Yes. Let's take a look at a couple of things to help us stay together. Number one is harmony. In verse 2 of our text, it says this. Then Paul says this. Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. This one scripture carries the idea of harmony, of unity. To agree wholeheartedly means to think on the same thing. It means to be in harmony, unity with one another. It's a beautiful thing when the people of God, the people of our family, are in harmony together. God makes all of us an original. We're all original. There's no one like you. There's no one like me. We're all original masterpieces made by the Father. But when Christ comes in our heart, he is the thing that makes us unified together. He is the thing that keeps us in harmony and keeps that great harmony amongst us. But for us as humans, when we aren't focused on the things of the Spirit, we aren't in relation with God, we get ourselves so focused on the outward appearances. We don't look alike, we don't act alike, we don't sound alike, so we can't be family. That's not true. Jesus Christ in our hearts, remember, Jesus Christ is the unifier in our hearts. He is the one that creates the harmony amongst us. I think of like a band, right? Think of a band. We don't have one yet. We will have one.
Amen.
Yeah. Other bands on YouTube, but we will have a band up here one day.
Yes.
When a band is just a singer, if it's just a singer, it can sound okay. But if you add some drums, if you add a guitar, you add a bass, and it's in harmony, and it's on key, it makes a beautiful sound, right? And that's God's heart for His church, is to be in harmony so we can create a beautiful sound, which in turn will draw people into a relationship with Him, right? If there's a good band out there, I'm not too much into music, but like I think maybe like the Rolling Stones or something like that, what drew people to them? It was the music, the lyrics, the sound drew people to their music. Our harmony together will draw people. People will see our harmony together and they'll be drawn into questioning, what is that they have? What creates that harmony in that church? What creates that harmony among those people? And it's Jesus Christ. Paul also says to have one mind. Now we all have our own mind. But what we invite the Holy Spirit in to create that unity amongst us, we can have one mind.
Mind of Christ.
One mind. We can think alike. We can have the same common goal as a church, as a family. We can celebrate the differences that we have because they're all for a purpose and they're all ordained and they're all given by God. So we celebrate the differences that we have because they create the family. We need to bring ourselves in with love, bring our hearts in with love, and then you will experience the harmony. Harmony will change you, and it will change us, and it will change the world. We are better together when we are in harmony. When we're in unity, we are better together. Number two is humility. This is the hard one. Humility for our human nature and who we are as people is it's difficult, but I encourage you to keep your toes present while the Lord just taps on them a little bit during this part of the sermon. He's just going to tap on your toes just a little bit. In verse 3 it says, don't be selfish, don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves.
That's right.
The humble person is not just someone who thinks lowly on himself. It is someone who doesn't think about himself at all. I think we have a pretty good example of that in Christ. And it's somebody that doesn't think about itself at all. If somebody says, hey, I need a shirt, take the shirt off.
Woo!
You give them the shirt because they need it more than you, and you know that you have another shirt under
that you can
clothe yourself with. That's humility. When you don't think twice when somebody asks you something. And they need it. And you have it to give. Humility is given it. We are not here to bring attention to ourselves. We are here. We are here to make Jesus famous. That's what we're here for. Humility is one of the most elusive virtues. It just is. But as we're in harmony, when we're in harmony, we're like-minded, we're one-minded, humility is right there with it. We can have humility. Because we know that the thing that we're laying down, or the thought that we're laying down, or whatever it is that God's asking us to do, or somebody's asking of us, we know that's for a greater purpose.
That's right.
That's when humility can really take charge of our lives. You know, it doesn't take long for us to get to a point, it could, this could happen. I'll speak for myself. This has happened to me before. Maybe it's happened to you too. When you do something good for the kingdom, and you're like, see what I did? I did this, I did that. That's not what it's about. It's not about getting a pat on the back. It's not even about being noticed. Like, we, as children of God that have humility, should fly so far under the radar of being seen and loud and out front. We should be okay in that place of humility.
Yeah.
In James 4, it says this: do you think the scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate, that the Spirit He has placed within us should be faithful to Him. And He gives grace generously, and as the scriptures say, God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. God is passionate about the Spirit that He has placed in you. Why is He passionate about it? I'll tell you why. Because it's the same Spirit that He's placed in you to have humility. It's the same Spirit that He placed in Jesus Christ that raised Him from the dead. That's how strong the Spirit is in us. It doesn't just create humility in our lives, but the strength is so strong. It's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And it's the same Spirit that Christ had when He was on this earth and walked the most humble life that we could ever imagine.
Yeah.
It was by the Spirit that God placed in Him that He was able to do that. It wasn't on His own. He was flesh like you and me when He was here. He was God sent to earth, but He was still flesh like you and me. He had the same desires. He had the same thoughts. He had the same thought patterns. But He lived a blameless life because He allowed the Spirit that God placed in Him to overtake His heart and life and lead Him into the good things of God. This kind of humility that I'm talking about reminds me, I was thinking about getting on an airplane. Before you take off an airplane, they have the emergency things like buckle your seatbelt, if you need the life raft, you know, it's under your seat. Then they say, if needed, these oxygen masks will come down from the ceiling. And then they say, before you put the mask on your child, put it on yourself. And I'm thinking, there's no way I'm going to do that. I'm going to put it on my kid first. The charge we've been given for our children is to care for them, without a doubt. Humility is the same. God's like, I'll put the oxygen mask on you first, right? Do you think that God would, if He was sitting beside us, would put His mask on first? He would care for the one beside Him. He would care for His child right beside Him. And it's the same mentality. Our thought patterns should be more like, how will my words affect my brother and sister? How will my actions affect my brother and sister more than the gratification they'll give me? That's humility. The third way for us to be better together is helpfulness. In verse 4, it says this: don't look out only for your own interests, but take interest in others too. Culture would have you believe that caring for yourself is the only path to happiness. That making sure your own self is taken care of is the way you become happy, the way you become fulfilled. I will not stand here and say that you won't be happy to take care of yourself. But I will say you won't be living in the abundance of God if you only take care of yourself. God's very best for you is in the community of believers and doing your part to help whatever He has called you to do in that family. It's not an accident or coincidence that you're here. God ordained this moment from the very beginning of time. He knew you would be here tonight. He knew that you would be here looking around and seeing your family. It is ordained by God. So here we go. When we come in here on Sundays, our attitude should not be, what can the church do for me?
Yeah, what can I do for them?
It should be, what can I do for the church? When I'm referring to the church, I'm referring to us. I'm not referring to this building. You know that thing, this is the church, this is the steeple. This is the church, right? This is the steeple. This isn't the church. This is the church when you open the door. The people that you see inside are the church. You and I make up the church. What are you doing Monday through Saturday to prepare yourself and bring something in for our family? Our family. This is our family. What are you doing the other 6 days of the week for your family? Sunday worship. Who likes a potluck? Y'all like potlucks? I think everybody likes a potluck, right? What dish are you bringing in for Sunday morning? What gift are you making Monday through Saturday to bring in on Sunday morning? God always provides the main course. All we have to do is bring our little side dish. Here we go. Are you stopping by Walmart and picking up your side dish prepared by somebody else to bring? Are you buying something that somebody else prepared and putting it in a pretty dish and bringing it in? Like you made it? I'm not talking about real potluck. It's okay to do it for a real potluck. I'm talking about like our spiritual potluck we're having in here in our Sunday morning worship service. Are you preparing something low and slow all week long to bring in to share with your family? Low and slow is the best. Low and slow green beans, low and slow meat, low and slow mac and cheese. Everything is better low and slow. And as we're throughout our week, it's a low and slow cook. It's low and slow. God will pour into you. It'll be so tender and so sweet. Are you buying something yet? Somebody prepared? Or are you putting in the effort, the time, the energy to bring God's very best to your family on Sunday mornings? You want to live in the abundance of God? Open your Bible, and here on Sunday isn't abundance. That's not the path to get there. Sunday isn't the day to get your fill for the week. What I compare Sunday to, Sunday is like dessert. You know, dessert tastes good, it feels good, it'll fill you up temporarily. But it will not sustain you. Dessert does not sustain. It's good, but it does not sustain you. We have to be dining on the meat of the Word, Monday through Saturday, the meat of our relationship with Christ, Monday through Saturday, so we can bring in something good, something to share with our family on Sunday. On Sunday, the pep rally, the celebration, the day we come together and celebrate all God's faithfulness, everything He did for us this week.
Yes.
We come in and we celebrate how He spoke to us through His Word. We come in and we celebrate how He answered a prayer. We come in and we celebrate how He healed somebody. We don't have to come in here on Sunday to be healed. Monday through Saturday is when that happens, and we come in on Sunday and celebrate.
Yes.
Monday through Saturday is when you become the best version of yourself for your family. It is not about you or me. It's about our family. We are family, and we are better together.
Yes.
And when we don't bring in our very best, the person sitting beside you feels that.
That's right.
When we're not bringing in our abundance, our family feels it. It affects us when we're not in harmony, when we're not humble, and when we're not doing our part to help one another. When we get in that relationship, when we're spending more than 2 hours a week on Sunday with God, This is when we will come in on Sunday bringing something rather than coming here looking for something to take home.
Amen.
Looking for a to-go box, a doggy bag to take home a little bit of God's very best. But God wants us to come in with our very best and leave so we can be sustained for the whole week.
Amen.
This kind of shift will undoubtedly make us better together. The founder of the Salvation Army, William Booth, was a great Christian. On an occasion, they were having a Salvation Army convention, and he was not able to attend. He sent them a telegraph message. When they opened it, the message read from the Salvation Army founder to the attendees read this. You'd think it was this deep thought of what's next, but it simply read this: others. Period. Others. Period. Others. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the person sitting behind you, the person sitting beside you, to experience the God-given gifts that He's given you. When you bring them in on Sunday, it's for the benefit of everybody else, not for you. I want to look at a New Testament example of why our Monday through Saturday life is important to the family. In Mark 2, we have the story of, I'll paraphrase, the four men carrying the paralyzed man. They couldn't get him in through the door. They couldn't get him in through there. They couldn't get him in. They couldn't get him in the place. So they lowered him through the roof. And verse 5 says this: seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." And then in verse 11, he tells him to stand up, to pick up his mat, and go home. And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God by exclaiming, "We have never seen anything like this before." What do you notice about Jesus in this story? Seeing their faith. The faith of the four friends. Seeing their faith. It wasn't the paralyzed man's faith. Seeing the four friends' faith, he forgave them of the sins and healed them. Your faith matters in the family. Your Monday through Saturday matters because you got to come in here prayed up, read up, worshiped up, fired up to bring your faith so the person sitting beside you who doesn't have that faith can be healed and walk out of here free. And because of that, we will be better together. When stuff like that starts happening around us,
you gotta catch it.
When stuff, we will be so better together. And let me, real quick, when I'm talking about abundance, God's abundance, it's not equal to money. The abundance I'm talking about is peace in all things. Whether it's finances, health, family, whatever, work, it's peace in all things is the abundance of God. Now we're going to take a look at an Old Testament example of how our Monday through Saturday can affect our family. In Daniel chapter 3, I'll paraphrase, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was like, "I'm not going to worship you. I'm going to worship my God only. You can't make me."
That's right.
Y'all know the story. Y'all familiar with it? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't listen to the king, Nebuchadnezzar. They said, "No way. I'm going to worship my God. He's the only one I'm going to worship." In verse 21, it says this: "So they tied them up and threw them in the furnace, fully dressed in their pants, turbans, robes, and other garments. And because the king In his anger, had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames killed the soldiers as they threw a man in. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell into the roaring flames. But suddenly, Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, "Didn't we tie up three men and throw them into the furnace?" "Yes, your majesty, we certainly did." "Look," Nebuchadnezzar shouted, "I see four men, unbound, walking around in the fire, unharmed. And the fourth looks like a god." Then Nebuchadnezzar came in as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So they stepped out of the fire. They stepped out of the fire. Not a hair on their head was singed. Their clothes were not scorched. Not even the smell of smoke. Do you think that their Monday through Saturday made a difference in their Sunday when they were in that furnace? It sure did. Their Monday through Saturday made a difference. You know why they had no doubt? They were with the Lord and they were together. Family, we're going to walk through fiery furnaces. I'm not here to tell you that we're not going to have hard times. It's going to be easy. But I'm here to tell you, when you have to walk into that furnace and you have a family member that you know has spent time building their faith Monday through Saturday standing beside you, you can walk through.
Yes, hallelujah.
But if we're not spending time Monday through Saturday building ourselves up, praying ourselves up, filling ourselves up, we're going to get singed and burnt by ourselves. This, my friends, is what you are here. You and I are here together for. To stand with each other in faith. That's why we're here. To bring our part so we can all walk through our furnace without being burnt, singed, or the smell of smoke. Who is ready for a Monday through Saturday revival? We don't have to have revival on Sunday. It's Monday. I'm telling you, church, it's Monday through Saturday. It's the most important days of our week.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Then we can come in here and celebrate. And it won't matter what the song list is. It won't matter what the song set is. It won't matter what worship sounds like. It won't matter what message is preached. Because we are filled up. We are prayed up. We are worshiped up. And we're coming in to give it out.
Yes.
And our focus won't be on those silly things. Our hearts will be repositioned in a place that it doesn't matter how I feel. We're not here to get a feeling.
That's right.
We're here to change.
Right.
We're not here to get a feeling. Oh, church felt so good today. I want the new motto to be, "Church transformed me today."
Yes.
Because of the faith of my family member, church transformed me today. Not because of the lyrics of a worship song, because of the faith gathered together in the house of God, church transformed me today. And we walk out of here ready, expectant, excited, confident about Monday. We don't have Monday morning blues as children of God. We don't have the Monday mornings that the culture tells us we should have. Why? Because we have confidence knowing we have abundance, peace in all things, no matter where we are on Monday morning. Walking in the abundance of God. Better together. I want to close the message with six powerful verses from Ephesians 4. These verses are the foundation of Full Circle Church, and these verses are the foundation of what it means to be together as a family. "Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. The responsibility is to equip God's people to do the work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God, God's Son, that we be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Here we go. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. So the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. So that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. This is what it's about, better together. Your part helps my part. My part helps your part. We're all connected so we can all grow. Church, family, we are better together.
That's right.
Bow your heads and let us pray. God, thank you for showing up, showing out, speaking. God, I pray that the word that you sent forth would take root in our hearts. You would seal it in our hearts and we would be willing and ready to put in the worship to you Monday through Saturday. God, we are your vessels. We are a part of your church, and we're here for each other. God, make that a reality in our lives. The reality of others. Make it real to us. If you're here this morning, and you want to make a stand with me, I'm standing because I'm answering this invitation. I'm ready to make a difference in my Monday through Saturday. If you're ready to make a difference in your Monday through Saturday, so you can come in on Sunday and bring your very best, stay with me. God, you see your family. You see our family. We're taking a stand today. Hold us accountable, God, to this stand that we're making right now, that we're going to do our best Monday through Saturday so we can come in on Sunday and grow as a family. God, I pray that you would pour yourself out on your people. God, I pray that you would give us the abundance that you spoke to us about as we lay our lives down before you, God. Pour yourself out among us like we've never experienced before. God, give us revival in our Monday through Saturday. Revive our hearts, God. May we experience your love like we never have before, Lord. Monday through Saturday, and come in here on Sunday, next Sunday. May we come in next Sunday with a measure of faith that this building has never experienced. God, pour yourself out this week, I pray. In Jesus' name. God, I pray to bless your people this week. Speak to them like they've never been spoken to. God, protect us. Keep us safe. May we honor and glorify you with all our words and actions, Lord. And God, I pray that you would just go before us and prepare our way as we leave this place this morning. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen, church. Again, come back Sunday tonight for prayer. I got a couple people coming up right now, Beverly and Travis. If y'all need prayer for anything, David and Tracy, can y'all come up too?